And then I want to, I'm still really stuck on the enormity of this thing called grace. And so I'm still there. And if, you know, I guess you can zoom out if you're tired of hearing about this, but I just think there's such an incredible thing for us to grab a hold of. And so I'm calling today's message, Heirs Apparently, or the subtitle, Embarrassed by the Endless Evidence of Epic Endowments. I did kind of have fun with the ease on that one, I'm sorry. But here's what I'm thinking. One startling new reality for the disciples become apostles was the abundance of the gift of grace, which continually energized, motivated, filled, blessed, sweetened their day in, day out lives. The writers of the books of the New Testament regularly acknowledged it, not just as a standard letter-writing salutation with all the warmth of a to whom it may concern, but with a live-edge relief and in-their-face can't breathe without it gratitude. Jesus' departure back to the Father and the subsequent arrival of the Holy Spirit initiated an era of ambassadorship through these men, the likes of which they couldn't possibly have imagined or dreamed. On the outside, they remained as before, but on the inside, they went through the same, all things are made new, radical transformation as the one through which Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, empowers his church today. So we are the recipients, the heirs, if we will, of this multifaceted grace gift that just keeps on giving and keeps on motivating us and inspiring us and filling us up and encouraging us and lifting us back to our feet as it did for the disciples. And I've often thought of this, and we've talked about it many times, but I just think following Pentecost and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, they must have been so overwhelmed at the transformation in their hearts. They were the same guys with the same issues, living in the same skin, same relationships, but there was something in them that was transformed and being transformed. And every time they encountered new things, they must have just looked at each other in total wonder, like, what is really going on here? What is this? What is this strength? What is this determination, this power, this energy that keeps driving us forward and allowing us to face opposition without caving to it and not just running away as we would have done pre-Pentecost, as they did when Jesus was on the cross? And so this gift is in no way diminished. We have an eternal God who cannot change and cannot deny himself. And so we are today in 2022 recipients of just incredible, words can't describe it, grace. So I want us to look at two passages this morning. And today I'll switch it up a little bit. I'm going to use the Message translation, just because the changing up of the words helps. At least it helps me to get a better grasp. You know, one of the problems with scripture sometimes is we get overly familiar with words, wording, phrases, and they have so many attachments to messages and teachings that we've heard that we're no longer really hearing. And we're no longer being gripped by its power. And so Peterson's message in these two passages helps me. And so we're looking at grace inherited. We're the heirs of this grace. And so I want to read this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, out of the Message. And Peterson writes it this way. May all the gifts and benefits that come from God our Father and the Master, Christ Jesus, be yours. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. Just think, you don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. Just such beautiful and encouraging language here about this grace we've inherited. So the first blank that I've written here are these words right in his translation, gifts and benefits. Instead of just the grace, Peterson unpacks it by saying gifts, plural, and benefits. So it's almost like he's talking about the perks that are now ours, these extra things that get added in, these wonderful new things that we're living in, the truth of Scripture. All God's promises are yes and amen, Scripture tells us. And so regardless of our circumstances, in all circumstances, God's grace is abundantly applied to our circumstances. And his answer is there. And his powerful intervention is always ours. Now, the weak link in this, of course, is on our end, or maybe at least on my end. And so if I'm not seeing it, if I'm not sensing his presence, if I'm not sensing his gifting in a certain situation or circumstance or whatever, certainly in or an illness, it's because I'm not looking to him. I'm not anticipating and focusing my heart on what God is doing. But if I am, then what I'm doing is I am receiving again for today, all the blessing, all the compassion, all the gifting I need for the circumstance I'm in. And so that this plurality here, the gifts and the benefits. And then as he continues on through here, when he says, I'm thanking God for you, and then he says, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God. He's still talking about grace. So the second blank there in number one is free and open access. We need to remind ourselves again and again and again, our access to all that God offers us is both free and open. There's never, you know, it's never like we're always checking, especially in this time of COVID, we're always checking to see if certain stores are open or what time they're open and all the different things that are necessary. But we don't ever have to do that with God. It's free and open access. This open arm invitation, you know, it's the embarrassing, as we go back again to think of the prodigal son. You know, the poor guy, I feel really badly for him. You know, he's willing and he's practiced his speech to grovel before his father, knowing he's unworthy, probably will be rejected. And, you know, especially as he sees his father running to him and all the servants running after him, he might just think, you know, they're out to kill me. They don't want me on their property and they're going to get rid of me. And then, you know, I just think he can't be anything but overwhelmed with embarrassment as the father hugs him and kisses him and cries with joy over him and sends the servants back to the house to get the feast ready. And here's this poor son crawling to his father on his knees and wanting to basically kiss his father's feet, and his father won't even allow him to do that. That's such a wonderful picture of our position in God. When we've so messed up, when we're so embarrassed, we're so ashamed, we just want to, you know, we want to be like Elijah and just lay down in the desert under a broom tree and die because we're just so fed up with ourselves. And there's the Father standing there, weeping with joy that he's found us and lifting us to our feet and embracing us again. I mean, this is all grace. We don't deserve this, but this is what God does. So there's gifts and benefits that are ours 24/7, just wherever you are, however great your circumstance or however terrible your circumstance is right now, God is in the midst of it. And we have free and open access to the treasures of heaven because we are co-heirs with Jesus. And, you know, all of this stuff is just mind-boggling, of course, and it so saturates our hearts that it's hard to even respond to this. But this is the magnitude of this endless supply of gifts. And or as I'm calling them, epic endowments. The likes of Don Freeman should receive so abundantly everything that God has and keeps doing it in spite of everything that Don Freeman isn't. But what is so exciting is that as he finishes up this passage here that we've read, he keeps everything on track until things are wrapped up by Jesus. But God, who you started you on this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his son and master Jesus. And he will never give up on you. Never forget that. So again, when we are ready to give up on ourselves, and maybe you've never been in that position, but you know, I've been there plenty, just like, I can't believe I did that again. And he never gives up on us. His love for us, his commitment to us cannot change. And so that's just such an amazing thing to look at here as part of this grace that we've inherited. And so with that, then I want us to move over to Romans 11, just a few pages before that, at the end of chapter 11 in Romans. And verses 33 through 36, again in the message, and he writes it this way. Have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God, this deep, deep wisdom? It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory, always praise. Yes, yes, yes. Does it sound to you like Paul's a little excited here? As he writes this, I mean, he's trying so hard. And, you know, you always get this picture of, or at least I always got this picture of Paul as this rather dour, unforgiving, finger-pointing guy in his intensity. But really, when you read his letters, it's just the opposite. Maybe that's his old self coming through every once in a while. But he's full of love and praise and encouragement for all his churches, even when he has to correct them. There's so much that he goes through, lengths he goes to encourage them and build them back up again. And so in the second one, as we continue looking at grace inherited, what I see here, the first thing I see Peterson writing it as is extravagant generosity. That's the first blanket. Number two, extravagant generosity. Just, or we use the word often, you know, in using the prodigal son story, I say actually it's the prodigal father, because the word prodigal means wastefully extravagant. Well, that's how God is with us in his generosity. He's just wastefully extravagant. You know, he shouldn't have done it. If you ever received a gift that you thought was too much and you thought, you know, we have a tendency of going, oh, you shouldn't have. Now, we're thrilled to bits, of course, but we say, oh, you shouldn't have, you know, and in brackets, but I'm glad you did. And that's kind of how, that's prodigal. That's who God is. He only knows how to give gifts to us with the eternal quality of superabundance. He never gives just exactly what is needed, just barely to, you know, give us what we're looking for, but he always gives so much more beyond all that we could ever ask or think, Paul will say later in another letter. So extravagant generosity, and then he follows it up with this deep, deep wisdom. That's the second blank. Deep, deep wisdom. The, you know, as Paul has written elsewhere, you know, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And so he's just like, God's ways are so beyond ours. We'll never really figure them out. They're beyond searching out, one version says. And of course, the Old Testament passage we look at, you know, through Isaiah, he says, you know, my ways are not your ways. You know, they're so much higher than your ways. And I think what we need to recognize is there is deep, deep wisdom that comes along with these giftings of grace that are ours on a regular basis. And so we don't really even understand it. We don't understand why God endows that in us, but we don't even understand sometimes, I think, how God is gracing us in a circumstance to accomplish what we accomplish. You know, and I think that's often the case for people who've been involved in major revivals. And, you know, they just are overwhelmed that God is doing this. They're looking at it and going, I can't believe God is using me in this circumstance. It's not because of who I am. You know, and God has often used the most broken people to bring the biggest change. I mean, obviously, we look at the disciples and we often think nobody else would, no CEO of a multinational corporation would ever choose those 12 guys to work in his corporation. Yet that's what Jesus does. He takes the people who are the ones you wouldn't think, and then he changes everything for them. And so there's deep wisdom in what God does that's so deep that we don't really get it. We don't even understand how it is that God empowers us to do what we do. And sometimes, you know, have you ever prayed for healing for someone and all of a sudden they're healed right in front of you and you're so shocked. You're just like, oh, I can't believe this. And I was on a Zoom call with our friend Didier Rank this week. And we were on the phone for 2 hours. But he was talking about praying with someone. And as he was finishing praying, he looked up and he heard this guy that he was praying for. The guy just gasped. And Didier looked up like, what? And the guy goes, I don't know what this is, but I just feel like there's something in my mouth and I don't really know what this is. And I feel like electricity. And so he was baptized in the Holy Spirit as Didier is praying for him. And Didier said, it's the very first time that's ever happened right as I'm praying. And, you know, Didier practically danced back home again. He was so thrilled to see that God had done this amazing thing. And this guy was so taken aback by the filling of the Holy Spirit. And it was just really fun. And Didier had a great big smile on his face as he was sharing it as well. It was just really, really kind of fun to see. But that's the deep wisdom of God. We don't know when he's going to do it. You know, he doesn't do it on command. We don't snap our fingers and God steps to attention. You know, God is in his sovereignty, he gets the job done. Not like we would, not in our timing, not by the people that we would expect, and sometimes through the craziest of means. But that's who God is. We are invited into this incredible kingdom expansion adventure that really blows our minds to think that God would choose us. But he keeps choosing us, and he keeps choosing us, failure after failure, detour after detour, misunderstanding, and all the oopsies that we go through. He keeps choosing us because he can't help himself. He loves us so much. And even as I say that, my head spins thinking about it. So there's extravagant generosity that he talks about, and then the deep, deep wisdom. But this last part here that we know so well, Peterson says, everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. And the way I want to express it in the last blank there is eternity wrapped up in Jesus. So here we are, finite creatures. Just, you know, our lifespans are like blips on the timeline, if there's such a thing, of eternity, which I guess doesn't really work. There is no timeline in eternity. But, you know, from our perspective, you know, we're just here today, gone tomorrow, kind of, when we think of eternity. And so what Peterson captures, I think, is all of our lives, individually and corporately and globally and through all time, everything is in Jesus. It began in him, it's all worked through him, and it all goes back to him. There's this enormous, beautifully packaged gift that is all wrapped up in Jesus. And we are privileged as heirs, apparently, of this amazing thing that we get to share in and actually call Jesus friend. He calls us friend. We are friends of God. That's, if that doesn't make your head spin, I don't know what will. But this is the truth that Scripture offers us that is so easy for us to pass over, so easy for us to be so entrenched in the things of the world, that Paul will go on right after these verses. He goes on in Romans 12 to say, hey guys, don't let yourself get trapped by the ways of the world. I'll just read this for you. Here's Peterson's. So here's what I want you to do. Given that everything is in Jesus, God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's just beautiful. And so he's doing it. Wherever we are on our journey, whatever we've already accomplished, whatever things we've learned, whatever ditches and pits and whatever things we've fallen into, whatever laps around the mountain we've taken in our, what, you know, immaturity, I guess Peterson would say, God is waiting for us and he never gives up on us because everything is in him. We just get called into the adventure. We just get called in as co-heirs with Jesus, and we get to be embarrassed by the endless evidence of epic endowments. That's who we are at the beginning of this year. And I think delving more and more into this amazing grace that God gives us as we go through this year, just hitting on it at least every once in a while to remind us that not just who we are, but whose we are, that we are in Him. And we have been given everything we need for life and godliness, one of my favorite verses out of Peter. And He continually refreshes these things over and over again. If we've had a totally miserable day of failure and disappointment, discouragement, and on and on and on, we wake up the next morning to a fresh anointing, if we want to call it that, a fresh dose of these multifaceted gifts of grace to make it through another day. And so I want to pray for us that our hearts would be able to respond to it. And then just our sharing this morning of maybe ways that we've been maybe embarrassed by these endless endowments here, or just moments we've been incredulous at how God did it for us. If any of these things come to mind, or how we took a totally impossible, dark situation and there was no way out, and He made a way where there was no way. You know, some of those kind of stories. Or, you know, if none of those situations come, maybe there's been a scripture verse that, or a passage that's just done that. Let's share these good things of God this morning. Let's cause our hearts to soar just a bit here on a chilly January morning or afternoon, depending. So Father, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for this gift of salvation that has so many layers to it, that is so filled with grace, which in itself, all by itself, is more than we can ever imagine possible. And thank you that you continually pour out your goodness. You endow us with strength and wisdom and a sense of purpose and direction. And you equip us to go into the world, not being of it, but to go into it so strengthened that we are able to respond as you would respond to the various circumstances that we see happening around us. So thank you this morning for what you've done for all these amazing saints on this screen. Thank you for the way you've encouraged and motivated and energized and sweetened our day in, day out lives. And we thank you for these moments of just sharing together now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's it for me. Anybody got some good stuff that readily comes to mind that would be an encouragement to us? Angela?
Well, listening to everything you have said here, my spirit has got so excited because I think about all the prayers I've been praying for current and what's to come. And it's just like making me feel like, Lord, you're hearing every one of our prayers. And in your timing, you're going to answer them. So I don't have to worry about it. And when that time comes, well, I have to go like back to the jails, you're going to be there. And I'm going to remember what I prayed. And I'm going to feel confident when I'm in there of the things I pray for, you know. So that just made me feel a lot of joy, you know, thinking about that.
Amen. Good. Deanna?
I have a story that kind of came to mind of being embarrassed by kindness. And it was Christmas Eve, and Elizabeth is, even though she's 14 years old, she's still a little girl. And she was so excited to get up early for Christmas. And my son, my oldest son, decided to watch a Marvel movie at like midnight. And I was like, upset. I'm like, and he goes, no, let's sleep in. I'm like, no, we don't sleep in on Christmas.
What was he thinking?
And he kind of just was like, he's an adult. He gets to make his own decision. I was a little upset that he chose a Marvel movie instead of the magic of Christmas morning. And well, we wound up getting up early and he was, of course, exhausted. But then he pulled out this box. It was ginormous. And it was for me. And it was 50 things, because I turned 50 that year, of things that he loved about me with a note attached to each one. And he put on a note so he could do all 50 things and wrap 50 things and write 50 nice things. And I thought, I got upset with him the night before. And I just thought, that is undeserved kindness. Like, if I was him, I would change my mind and gone back to bed. He didn't. So I just want to share about undeserved, totally embarrassed, but giving kindness anyways.
That's a beautiful example. That's just how God is. Awesome.
Beautiful.
You go, Preston. Good job.
Well, we kind of had one here recently, which you just mentioned at the beginning here today, and that has to do with Gregory and Isabel. For whatever reason, over the last several months, the Lord has just put Gregory and Isabel on our hearts, and almost every morning we prayed just that they could get together, again. And we really didn't have any word about it, and then all of a sudden we heard that actually he was over there for Christmas and everything. And it's just, you know, it seemed like impossible, because at the same time, you know, we're hearing all these restrictions that, you know, they weren't going to let Americans into the country and everything. And then all of a sudden we hear that he's there and everything. Right? It just really excited us that God was able to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So that's definitely one of those. It seemed like there was no way, and then God just made a way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
And I text Sue. You guys prayed for my son. He was in a car accident, and then he had been in a lot of pain where it actually made him debilitated to not be able to work like normal. And then you guys prayed on Tuesday and Wednesday. I got that text that he was able to function again, and God just touched him. So just praise God.
Amen. That's right.
That's great. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I learned so much from you all, and God directs me to be reading things, and I'm as well, and actually, I've been reading about Eugene Peterson, who passed away in 2018, I think. I'm in a book club, and we're going to be reading his book, his biography, called A Burning in My Bones. But one thing that he said to the person that was going to be writing his biography, he says, I just want people to know how much I have loved God, how much I love my God. And it just got me thinking, we hear so often, God loves us, God loves us, God loves us. And then I started thinking, God, you do, and you're even loving me enough to help me grapple a little bit with that question, how much do I love God? And he just helps us with that, to move towards him again and again and again, and to discover who he is. And if we search for him, we will find him. And so anyway, that's grace, that God allows me to hear certain things. Mm-hmm. And pursue things so that I can draw closer to him.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Celia?
Bob's just turning me on. Sounds like something from the 60s being turned on.
Yes.
Anyway, just following from what Sue says, we've just been reading a book by a chap called Gary Best, and just reminding us about the empowering of the disciples, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, these ordinary guys were, just like you were saying, Don, able to access God's love and power and grace for people. And it just made me think, well, it's the same now for us. We're the same. We've got this access. And then I was reading the Corinthians passage that you just mentioned in the Passion. And like you say, trying a different version, suddenly things impact you in a way because you've never seen it like that before. So I'm just going to read that again.
All right.
That passage, 1 Corinthians 4 onwards. I'm always thanking my God for you because he's given you such free and open access to his grace through your union with Jesus, the Messiah. In him, you've been made extravagantly rich in every way. How, you know, we've got to believe this. You have been endowed with a wealth of inspired utterance and the riches that come from your intimate knowledge of him. For the reality of the truth of Christ is seen among you and strengthened through your experience in him. So now you aren't lacking in any spiritual gift as you eagerly await the unveiling of the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. He will keep you steady and strong to the very end, making your character mature so that you will be found innocent on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is forever faithful and can be trusted to do this in you, for he's invited you to co-share the life of his Son, Jesus, the Anointed One, our King. So we've just got to believe it and take it on board. And thank you for your grace, Father God, that, you know, we have something that the boys had in those days, but it's still the same. Thank you.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we have to do that. So, any other things just bubbling up that we can't tolerate holding in anymore before we head off to prayer here? Joan.
I'd like to thank Chris and April for letting this book become known around the world. It's just amazing. And I'm so happy to see so much more than I could have otherwise seen. I love the fact that April and I have some similarities from across the sea, and that we have the same God and we love him and we see how he loves us. It's just so comforting to know that he's that big.
Yeah, that's right. It is great sometimes to realize that, you know, it's a small world when you look at it from God's perspective.
Right.
He knows what he's doing, and he welds us together, kind of. We have there's an intimacy in the Holy Spirit that is just amazing. And it breaks down a lot of barriers when we do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, just one more thing. I just want to remind you that there's a new version of that song called The Blessing, and it's just come out recently in the last few days, I think. But it's the blessing that Christians in the whole world have participated in. Was it how many? 150 countries have participated. Do you know what I mean?
I know the song. I didn't know there was a new version. So
there's a new version, which, you know, every country did their own version, but that somebody's put it all together and taken segments from India, from Guatemala, from Japan, from China, from Kenya, from South Africa, from Brazil, and amalgamated into this wonderful tear-jerking chorus. And you know, you just see people of all nations, of all colors, singing it. It's really inspiring. So if you can access it, you know, the sort of worldwide blessing song, you will be thrilled.
Yes, I will definitely look for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chris, were you gonna?
Yeah, I was, thank you, Joan, for what you said.
Yes,
we're both very grateful for that feedback. Does anyone know the Christian Century, the newspaper or magazine?
I've seen it.
Christian Century. Because it's an American magazine, I'm not sure what status it has. Anyway, they've asked for an article on Myanmar.
Great.
So I'm going to try and oblige. And actually, God is, because the book has gone out to our friends and you guys, and I'm now trying to push it out a little bit further into the marketplace by approaching magazines and so on. Not as you understand, to push my name, of course. it's no, more to, but just to get the word out there about Myanmar and inform people so that they can pray. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've been amazed. I guess it is grace that Christianity, which is the main UK Christian magazine, are going to print something, an article in March. And there's a newspaper called The Church Times is publishing something this week. And another paper called Reform is going to publish something. So it's kind of getting the word out there, which is really good. And you'll be aware that the state of emergency that was mandated by the junta was February the 1st, 2021. So we're coming up to that anniversary, to the end of that year-long state of emergency next week. Mm-hmm. So be praying for the country, because that could be a vital moment. You know, will the junta attempt to extend the military rule? Will they recognize the election results of November 2020? Or will there be a regime change? That's what we're praying for, regime change, for God to call to account the evildoers and to institute in his sovereign way a different government. I mean, it seems impossible, but he can do it.
Great. Thank you for praying for Burma. And I really believe that God's authority will be stamped on that country. And
good.
We don't have to question him. We don't have to worry or be anxious, but just be in his grace and know that his grace is going to pour through that country, through the Christians as well.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Because the reality is God is in Burma.
Right.
He's there on the ground. He is at work. And if we could just hear the stories of how God is at work that we don't hear and we don't see. And so there's definitely work that's going on there by the Spirit. I'm sure there's, if we could just see into the heavenly realm at this point, what's going on over Burma, we would be amazed.
Yeah.
So even though we want other things to be evident on the ground, God is still at work. He is not forgotten, and he loves the country. He loves the people. Yep. That's obvious. Yep. So, all right. That's yes. We'll definitely be praying for that then.
I think there was just something in the news this week about two biggest major oil companies who have oil rigs in or offshore there are completely withdrawing all their business interest in the country because of the regime that's in power there and everything. And apparently this is their biggest single source of income for the government there is the royalties and stuff for this. So I suppose this is going to also cause hardship for all the people in the country at the same time. Yes. But it's going to get harder and harder for that regime to maintain itself without that kind of support. And it's just an indication of the international response to what's going on there. It's just it's just being withdrawn more and more all the time.
Right. Well, and an evidence of God's grace, obviously.
Yes.
You know, that's what's happening. People are showing and they're using the powers they have to put pressure. So that's good. Well, with all of these things, Horace, why don't you take us into prayer on that list that we have in front of us?